This week's CD is on Parshas Truma, and we are going to focus our shiur in the first two psukim of the Parsha, which is chapter 25, verse number 1 and 2. The verse starts, Vaydabar Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Dabar Abnei Israel, speak to the children of Israel, Ve'ikhuli, and they should take to me, Truma, a raising, we translate as a portion, but really, the literal translation of the word Truma is from the word Torum, to raise, meaning take to me a raising. Me'ez kol ish asher idvenu liboy, from every man whose heart will motivate him. Tikhu esturimasi, you should take my raising or my portion. Basically, the verse is saying that since Hashem wants us to build a tabernacle, we require to donate items for the tabernacle. And this is what the verse means to say, that we should give a raising, we should give donations for the tabernacle from every person that is heart's desire. So the first Rashi of this week's Parsha asks a question, what does it mean, Veikhu li, take to me a raising? Clearly, it cannot mean that we should take to Hashem a donation, because clearly Hashem owns everything. Therefore, Rashi writes down, from the Medesh Tanchuma, li, to me, lishmi, for my name. Meaning, we should give this donation for the sake of Hashem, for the name of Hashem. And all the Mefarshim want to understand what is Rashi adding here. All the mitzvahs that we do, we have to do it for the sake of Hashem. Then why is specifically during the donation to the tabernacle is written li, for me, lishmi, for my name. And the other question that we are going to try to address in this shiur is the fact that it is written Ve'yikhu li truma, they'll take to me a portion or offering, instead of written Ve'yitnu li truma, that they should give me a portion. Since we are giving this donation to Hashem, it should be written Ve'yitnu li, they'll give to me truma a portion. Why is it written Ve'yikhu li, they'll take to me a portion? The first answer on the first question we are going to bring from Sefer Kostnas Oyer, where Sefer Kostnas Oyer is going to explain. Then when it says li lishmi, for me, for my name, it is meant literally that we should take this for the sake of the name of Hashem. And Sefer Kostnas explains it in the following way. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Nun Omed Aleph 50a, where there the Gemara brings down that Ravina Rami, Ravina, asks a contradiction. It's written in the verse in Shemos, chapter 3, verse number 15, which there it states, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, this is my name forever. Veze zichri ledor vador, and this is my mention from generation to generation. But the word leolam, forever, it's written missing a vav, and it's read leolam, which is meant concealed, which implies that the name of Hashem has to be concealed. But yet, when we say veze zichri ledor vador, and this is my mention from generation to generation, obviously it's meant that the name of Hashem should be mentioned. Then we have a contradiction. Is the name of Hashem concealed, or the name of Hashem is mentioned? The Gemara answers, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Loike shena nichtov ani nikra, not in the same way that I am written, I am pronounced. Nichtov ani be yud kei, I am written with yud kei, meaning the word yud kei vav kei is written whenever we want to mention the name of Hashem. But when yud kei vav kei is written, we do not pronounce it yud kei vav kei. But the nikrani, I'm instead read be alef dalet with alef dalet, meaning alef dalet nun yud. That when it's written yud kei vav kei, we read it Adonai. So not in the same way that I am written, I am mentioned. So this is my name, is yud kei vav kei, but I am read alef dalet nun yud. So therefore, that is the meaning of the verse. But yet, the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Ches Omed Aleph, and the end of Tomid, Daf Lamed Gimel Omed Beis, brings down that B'Mikdash, that in the Beis HaMikdash, Oyu Koirim Hashem Kiksivasoi, they used to read the name of Hashem the way it was written, meaning that it was written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it was read Yud Kei Vav Kei, whereas outside the Mishkan, or outside the Beis HaMikdash, it was written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it was read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Then comes out that if we are going to build a sanctuary, then we'll be able to read the name of Hashem in the same way that it is written. That it is written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and in the Mishkan, the Tabernacle, in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll be able to read the name of Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. According to this, Sefer Kosnas Oir explains that this is the meaning of the Rashi. Rashi means to say that Hashem is asking for us to give a donation. Why is Hashem asking for us to give a donation to the Tabernacle? Li, for me, Lishmi, for my name, in order for me to be able to pronounce my name. So the donation is coming for Hashem, which allows then Hashem to have his name mentioned in the Tabernacle and the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Hashem is asking us for donations. Sefer Yosef Tehillos, the Eretz HaChaim, write in the same vein that the idea for us taking a truma is in order for us to be able to know Hashem's name literally, meaning for the sake of the name of Hashem literally. But he brings the Yerushalmi in Yuma, Peregimel Halacha Zayin, to explain what he means. There the Yerushalmi says that Hayodea Shema Mefurash Ein Lehenos Me'acherim, that somebody who knows Hashem's explicit name should not have benefit from somebody else. And they explain that the reason is that if you have benefit from somebody else, meaning you are used to having other people give you things, but one time that person won't give you what you feel you deserve, then since you know the explicit name of Hashem, we are afraid that you are going to curse that person by using the name of Hashem. Therefore, the rule is that if you know the explicit name of Hashem, you are not allowed to benefit from anybody. And according to this, they explain that this is what is written in Tehillim chapter 9, verse number 11, that there it says, V'yiftechu v'cha yoyde shemecha, that they'll trust in you, those who know your name, meaning that yoyde shemecha, those who know your name, have to have complete trust in you, because since they're not allowed to have benefit from another person, because he's not allowed to receive things from other people, because we are afraid that he is going to curse them. Therefore, v'yiftechu v'cha yoyde shemecha. They'll have to trust in you, those who know your name. But Sefer Yosef Tehillos asks that we know that the Kohanim, the priests in the Tabernacle and the Beis HaMikdash, knew Hashem's explicit name. Then the question is, how can we give them Trumas and the other gifts of the Kohanim? How can we give them the tithe that they have to get and the gifts that the priests get? If the priests know the name of Hashem, then they're not supposed to have benefit from other people. Then how can we give them those gifts? And he answers, based on the Gemara in Yuma Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara is discussing the status of Kohanim, meaning the priests do certain things that we cannot do. For example, we cannot offer an offering on the altar, meaning that a non-Kohen could slaughter the animal, but all the other services of the offering, as sprinkling the blood and burning on the altar, has to be done by a priest. Then the Gemara has a discussion, what is the status of the Kohen, of the priest? Is he our messenger? Meaning that Hashem told us to bring an offering, and since we can't bring the offering ourselves, we give the Kohen to do the job for us, then the Kohen is our messenger. Or is he the messenger of Hashem? Meaning, Hashem told us to bring the offering to Hashem, and Hashem says that I want the Kohen to be my messenger, then by you giving to the Kohen is tantamount of you giving this offering to Hashem. So the question is the Kohen our messenger or the messenger of Hashem? And the Gemara there says that the Kohen is the messenger of Hashem, because if he would be our messenger, that the Kohen should be able to do something that we can't do. Meaning, normally, your messenger could only do what you could do, but here we see that the priest could do something that a regular Jew cannot do, because he could go in certain places inside the tabernacle and inside the temple where a regular Jew cannot go, and he could offer those things on the altar. Therefore, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the Kohanim are Shlicha Derachmona. They are the messengers of Hashem, that Hashem tells this person to bring the offering to him. The Kohen is the messenger of Hashem, and therefore, once the Kohen takes it, it's tantamount as Hashem would have taken it. And Sefer Yosef Tilos and Eretz Chaim explain that this is the same thing that happens when the Kohen receives the priestly gifts, meaning that when the Kohen receives the priestly gifts, it is not as the person is giving to the Kohen and the Kohen is getting a benefit from him. It is tantamount as the person is giving it to Hashem, and Hashem gives this as a gift to the Kohen. Then comes out that the Kohen doesn't really have benefit from the person, because they only have benefit from Hashem, meaning that it's tantamount as they would be giving it to Hashem and Hashem to the Kohanim. So it comes out that the Kohanim don't have benefits from Hashem. So according to this, Sefer Yosef Tehillos and Sefer Eretz Chaim explain that this is what Rashi means to say. That Hashem asked us to build a tabernacle for him, because by us building a tabernacle, then we'll see that the Kohanim are shlichet derachmana. They are shlichim of Hashem, because the Kohanim could go to certain places where the regular Jew cannot go. Automatically, if you see that the Kohanim are shlichet derachmana, then they'll be able to pronounce the name of Hashem. Now they'll be able to learn the proper name of Hashem, and they won't have to have benefit from the Jewish people by receiving the gifts. Because once you have a tabernacle that proves that the priests are messengers of Hashem, and once they message of Hashem, then they could have benefit by receiving the gifts, and it is not considered as they getting benefit from the people, therefore they are able to learn the proper name of Hashem. So it comes out that once you build a tabernacle, then Li Lishmi, this Kohanim, will be able to properly learn the explicit name of Hashem. Rabbi Heschel in Sefer Chanukah Torah gives a very interesting interpretation to what Li Lishmi means. For me, for the sake of my name, what does it mean? And he says it based on the Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph 63a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Cheske Bereid Rav Parnach Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nismecha Parshas Soite Le Parshas Trumas Imaisres. Why did the Torah put together next to each other the portion of a sota to the portion of giving the Trumas Imaisres, the gifts to the Kohen, meaning that right next to the verse that says in Bamidbar chapter 5, verse number 10, Vishas Kadosh of Leia, that a man's holy thing will be for him, and that is referring to the Trumas Imaisres, that if he gives away, then Hashem will reward them. And right afterwards, it's written in chapter 5, verse number 12, Ish Ish Kisiste Ishtoi, that a person, that a wife is straying, become a soita. The idea of a sota is when a man suspects his wife of committing adultery and he says to the wife in front of witnesses that she should not seclude herself with this person, and then the wife goes ahead and secludes herself with that person, but there are no witnesses that she actually committed adultery, so the husband suspects her of committing adultery, then the husband is prohibited from having relation with this woman until he brings her in front of the Kohen to the Beis Hamikdash, and there the Kohen will write this portion of the Torah where the Sota is written and also contains the name of Hashem, and he will dissolve it in water and put a little dust on it, and she'll drink the water, and if she survives, that means that she was innocent, and if she dies, that means that she was guilty. Then Rabbi Yochanan is asking a question: why is the portion of giving tithe to the Kohen connected to the portion of Sota? Rabbi Yochanan answers that kol sheyeshloi trumas u'maisres v'ein nosel lekohen, that anybody possesses trumas u'maisres, the gifts for the Kohen, the Levites, and does not give it to the Kohen, sof nitzrech lekohen alde ishtoi, will eventually need the Kohen to perform the procedure of sota. Meaning that if you do not recognize the Kohen, you believe the Kohen is not a worthy person, and because of that you do not want to give him your gifts because you believe he doesn't deserve it, eventually you'll come to need that Kohen in order to perform the duties of the sota. So therefore the Torah puts together the idea of giving away the Trumas Imaisres to the portion of sota. Sefer Chanukah Torah says that according to this comes out that if you do not give the portions to the Kohen, you will eventually cause that the name of Hashem be erased, because your wife will become a sota, and then she will drink the water which has in it the erased name of Hashem. But if you do give away the tithes, then Hashem doesn't have to cause your wife to be a sota, doesn't have to cause you to become jealous on your wife, and then your wife will be suspected of adultery, because you already recognize the Kohen and you give away your Trumas and Maasos. So therefore, says Rabbi Heschel, that this is the meaning of this verse here. The Torah tells you, velikchu li truma, that you should make sure that you give away the truma. Why? Because li lishmi. Because if you give away the truma, then you'll cause that my name will be complete, that my name won't be erased. Because if you give away truma, as we mentioned, then you recognize the Kohen, and Hashem doesn't have to make that you should come to the Kohen because of your wife, and doesn't have to make that your wife should become a sota and the name be erased. So therefore the Torah is telling you that veikhu li truma, make sure you give me the truma, give the Kohen the truma. Why? Because li lishmi, because like that, for my sake of my name, that it should not be erased. So literally, li lishmi, according to this, means that you should make sure that because you are giving truma, then you are causing. I wanted to answer the question, what does it mean, li lishmi, that you take from me, for my name, based on the chida brought by the Nachal Kadumim, where the chida answers the question, why is it written, veikhu li truma, that you should take from me an offering, a raising, it should actually be written, veyitnu li truma, that it should give me a raising, because since we are giving it to the tabernacle and stand amount of giving it to Hashem, then it should be written that we should give the portion to Hashem, not take the portion to Hashem. The Chiddo answers that in this week's Parsha, on chapter 25, verse number 7, amongst the ingredients that we're supposed to bring to the tabernacle, it's written that you should bring Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim, Shoam stones and Miluim stones, meaning stones for the settings, La'efoit v'la'choshen, for the efoit and for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. It means that some of the items that we should bring were the Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim. Yet, on Vayakel, where there is described actually who brought those stones, it's written on chapter 35, verse number 27, Vanesim heviu es Avnei Shoam ves Avnei Miluim, that the Nesim, normally translated as princes, they brought the Shoam stones and the Miluim stones, lo efoit, for the ephod, for the choshen, and for the breastplates. But the word Nesim there is written with a typo, where it's missing both yuds. Therefore, according to one opinion in the Gemara, this were actually Nesim means the clouds, that actually the clouds brought this Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim. As a matter of fact, the Targum Yonason Ben Uziel writes down that the clouds brought the Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim from the river Pishon, and also they bought the bosom and the oil from the Gan Eden, and they brought this because Hashem also wanted to take part of the donation to the tabernacle, so therefore he sent it every morning together with the man, and like that they were able to take these stones and donate it to the temple. Then comes out, according to the Chida, that actually Hashem himself gave the donation to the tabernacle. And therefore it's written, Veyikhu li, take from me or for me, truma, a portion. Meaning that Hashem wants you to take from him too a portion to the tabernacle. And it's not written Veyitnu, because it's not just you giving. Hashem is actually placing it in your door in order for you to bring this donation. And the question that we have to ask is, why did Hashem give a donation to the tabernacle? Why did he feel that he is required to give this? And we could answer this based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Dav Dalet Amud Beis 4b. There the Gemara writes down, V'omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, Lo yasu Yisroel es ha'egel, that the Jewish people only did the golden calf, Elo liten pischon pe lebalet tshuva, only to give opening of the mouth, meaning encouragement for a Baal Tshuva, for somebody who is penitent, for somebody who is repenting. And Rashi explains that Giboilim v'shalitim b'yitzramayu, that the Jewish people were strong and they were in total control of their evil inclination, v'lo yahayu re'uim leizgaber yitzram aleihem, and the evil inclination should not go over them, meaning that the evil inclination should, of normal circumstances, not win, Elo Gezeres Amelech Hoiso Lishot Bom, that Hashem gave a decree that the evil inclination should control the Jewish people. As the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peites Amud Aleph 89a describes what happened when the Satan was trying to convince the Jewish people to do the golden calf. The Gemara there says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people that after 40 days, in the beginning of the 6 hours, I will come down from the mountain. And according to Rashi, the idea is that there's supposed to be 40 days besides today's date. And the Jewish people miscalculated and they counted the date that Moshe Rabbeinu went up. And therefore, they miscalculated and they thought that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to come down on the 16th of Tammuz. And therefore, during the 16th of Tammuz, came the Satan and threw the whole world in confusion. So it means that it caused people to perceive a picture of gloom, darkness, cloudy, fog-like chaos, for the people to think that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And then the Satan asks the people, Moshe Rabchem Eichanu, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? They told them that he went up to heaven. The Satan says that Ba'u Sheish, but he said that he's going to come down during the first 6 hours, and this already passed. Still, the Jewish people would not pay attention to the Satan. Then the Satan said that Moshe Rabbeinu had died, and still they would not pay attention to the Satan. The Gemara says that the Satan showed Moshe Rabbeinu's bier being carried by angels, and that affected the Jewish people, and that caused the Jewish people to think that Moshe Rabbeinu is dead, and therefore they did the golden calf. Comes out that Hashem gave permission to the Satan to put a whole world in confusion, and also to show Moshe Rabbeinu's bier being carried by angels in order to entice the Jewish people to commit sin, which you could see that in normal circumstances they would have not committed the sin. Then we see that Hashem caused the Jewish people to sin. Why did Hashem cause the Jewish people to sin? In order to give an opening to person who repents. And we'll explain soon what that means. And the Gemara continues that this is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said in the Nevar B'Shem B'Yochai, that David HaMelech, in normal circumstances, should also have not sinned, meaning that the story of David HaMelech sin with Bathsheba is written in Shmuel 2, chapter 11, where there he describes how David HaMelech saw Bathsheba, even though Bathsheba was at that point married to Uriah Hittite, nonetheless, he had relations with her and he made her pregnant. Even though the Gemara technically says that David HaMelech did not sin, but nonetheless, clearly the prophet rebuked him for committing adultery. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai says that David HaMelech in normal circumstances would have not sinned. And so the Jewish people in normal circumstances would have not sinned. But why did Hashem make them sin? That if a single person sins and he thinks that his repentance won't be accepted, then we tell this single person that he should look at David HaMelech. David HaMelech technically committed adultery, nonetheless Hashem forgave him. So too, if a single person sins and repents, Hashem will accept his repentance. And if a tzibur, a lot of people sin, they may think that since so many people sinned, that Hashem won't accept their repentance. Therefore, Hashem made the Jewish people sin by the golden calf, and then they repented, and the repentance was accepted, that these people now who sinned won't be discouraged, because they will see that even though the Jewish people sinned by the golden calf, nonetheless, Hashem accepted their repentance. But nonetheless, we see from here that in normal circumstances, the Jewish people would have not sinned, and Hashem had to contribute for the Jewish people to sin. Meaning Hashem had to make their evil inclination so strong that they would have to sin, even though in normal circumstances they would not sin. According to this, we could say that this is the reason why Hashem felt that he has to contribute to the tabernacle. Because since Hashem was also complicit in the sin of the Jewish people, because he, in a way, caused by, as Rashi says, Gzeiras HaMelech, that it was a decree from Hashem that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, should rule over the Jewish people. Therefore, since the tabernacle is to serve as atonement for the sin of the golden calf, Hashem decided that he is also going to give a contribution to that atonement. According to this, we could say now that this is exactly what the verse means to say. Ve'ikhu li truma, they should take for me a truma. As the Nachal Kadumim brings down from the Chida, that Hashem wants you to take from His gift, from His stones that He send you in your door, a offering. Why? Because li lishmi, because you also have to bring an atonement for my name, for me contributing on your sin. Therefore, since the tabernacle is an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, I want to contribute because I also had a part in that sin, and therefore, li, for me, lishmi, for my sake, for the part that I have, I'm sending you those stones. In a simple way, we could say, based on what is written in Shara Gilgulim, in chapter 15, where Shara Gilgulim writes down that when the Jewish people sin, kaviyachol, it weakens Hashem, as it says in Devarim, chapter 32, verse number 18, Tzur Yelotcha Teshi, that you weakened the rock that bore you. Then according to this idea, when the Jewish people sinned by the golden calf, they definitely cause a weakness in the Shechina, because every time the Jewish person sins, causes a weakness. Clearly, when the whole population did such a great sin, it caused a weakness in the Shechina. But then the Jewish people repented, and in order to complete the repentance, Hashem told them to build the tabernacle. Comes out that the building of the tabernacle will strengthen the Shechina. Therefore, it says, "Vikhu li truma," they should take li, lishmi, take from me, for my sake, this donation and build a tabernacle, because by you building this tabernacle, which serves as complete atonement for the sin of the golden calf, then the Shechina will be strengthened. Therefore, it will be li for me, lishmi for my sake. That only through this atonement, the Shechina will be strengthened. Therefore, build the tabernacle for my sake. According to this idea that we brought from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that the Jewish people shouldn't have normally sinned, but Hashem wanted them to sin in order to teach the power of tshuva for somebody who wants to repent, Sefer Shem Eroish adds to this the idea written in the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Chof Tes, Amud Beis 29b. There the Gemara brings the verse that is written in Yeshaya chapter 26, verse number 4, Bitchu b'Hashem adayat, trust in Hashem forever, ki beko Hashem, because if the letters Yud K, Hashem Tzur Olamim, Hashem created the world. The Gemara there says that Rav Yehuda bar Eloah explained that Elu Shnei Olamos, that these are the two worlds, the world to come and this world, Shebara Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem created, Echot Behei ve'Echot Beyud, one world was created with Hei, another world was created with Yud, and this is the meaning of the verse, Ki Beyud Kei Hashem Tzur Olamim, that with the letters Yud and Hei, Hashem created both worlds. The Gemara asks a question, which letter was used to create Olam Hazeh, this world, and which letter was used to create Olam Haba, the world to come? The Gemara brings the verse in Bereshit chapter 2, verse number 4, where it says, Ele todos ha-shamayim v'oretz, this is the creations of heaven and earth, Behi bar'am, when they were created, there the hay is a small hay, to read, Behi bar'am, that this world was created with the letter Hey. And since this world was created with the letter Hey, that means that the world to come was created with the letter Yud. The Gemara asks, why is this world created with the letter Hey? The Gemara explains, Biplei Shadoy Melech Sadra, it resembles a pavilion which is open underneath, Shekol Aroitze Lotzeis Yeitze, that anybody who wants to leave that pavilion, anybody who wishes to sin, could go and leave that pavilion. The Gemara asks, if that is the only reason, then my Tama, Talia Kare, why is the leg of the hay hanging? Meaning, if the idea is that anybody wants to leave this pavilion could leave, then the world could have been created with the letter Ches, because a Ches is like a pavilion. And also, if a person wants to leave that pavilion, he could leave. Why did Hashem create the world with the letter hay, where it's open on top, where the leg is not connected to the top. The Gemara answers that if a person sins and he wants to come back, then Hashem gives him an opening on top to come back. Meaning that if a person sins and he wants to repent, then Hashem creates him another opening that he's able to come from the top. The Gemara asks, why can't he come back in the same way that he left? Meaning, if he does repentance, why can't he come back for the same opening that he left? Then you don't have to make another opening. The Gemara answers, Amar Shlokesh says, Loi mistaye milsa, because it's not easy to do. Meaning, Hashem wants to help out a person who sins to repent. Therefore, Hashem gives him another opening to make it easier for him to repent. But if you'd have to go back in the same opening, that wouldn't be very easy. The Gemara goes back to the words of Rav Yehuda, why is there a tag on top of the letter hay? Meaning, on the left corner of the hay, there is a little line, like a crown, on top of the letter. The Gemara answers, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Im choizer boy, if the person repents, ani koisher loy kesher, or I tie to him a crown. Meaning that Hashem puts the crown on top of the letter hey, next to the opening for the person to repent, to let him know that when he repents, Hashem will put a crown on top of him. Comes out that Hashem created this world with the letter hey to teach the idea that Hashem likes Baal Tshuvas, likes people who repent. Therefore, Sefer Shem Eroish explains that since now the tabernacle is an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, that means that through the tabernacle, Hashem showed that Hashem likes people who repent. And as we mentioned previously, the Jewish people shouldn't have really have sinned, but Hashem made that they should fall under the Yetzer Hara in order to sin, in order to teach that repentance works even when you sin in public. Then through that sin and through the repentance, now the letter hey becomes bigger. So therefore, Sefer Shem Eroish says that this is the reason why it's called Teruma, because through the tabernacle, Tarum Hay, the hay becomes raised. Meaning, now that we see that Hashem caused us to sin and we are repenting, this is the whole purpose why Hashem created the world. Therefore, Tarum Hay, the hay is being raised. According to this Shem Eroish that explains that through the donation is Torum Hei, now I could answer that this is what it means to say, Vikhu li Truma, take from me a donation, li lishmi, me for my namesake. Meaning, since this world was created by the letter Hei, then the namesake that Hashem is saying that we should take this Truma is for the sake of the letter Hei. Since we are doing repentance and this tabernacle is a show for the world that Hashem accepted our repentance, then take Li for me, Lishmi for my name, which is my name, which is Yudkei, but this world that was created with letter Hey, so Lishmi comes to say, take this donation for my letter Hey. As an aside, based on the Gemara in Menachos that Hashem created the world with a Hey, and if we say that other Mauritians knew that Hashem created this world with a Hey, then other Mauritians saw that the whole reason this world was created with a hay is because Hashem likes Baal Tshuvas. He likes somebody who repents. Therefore, we could say that this could be the reason why other Mauritians sinned, because he saw that Hashem created this world with the letter hay to say that I want somebody to repent and then I'll put a crown over his head. Therefore, other Mauritians, in a way, sinned. Meaning, even though he knew it was wrong, but since he saw that Hashem loves a Baal Tshuva, loves somebody who repents, therefore he wanted to become a Baal Tshuva, because he saw that this is the purpose that this world was created. The Shef Shmatase in his Akdome brings the words of the Alshach, that the Alshach asked our question, why is it written in our Parsha, Ve'ikhu li Truma, take from me a portion. Why isn't it written, Ve'yitnu li Truma, give for me a portion? And the Alshach answers, based on the Gemara in Kedushin, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph 7a, where the Gemara there is dealing with the act of betraying of a woman, that since the Torah writes down, Ki'ikach ish isha, when a person will take a wife, That means that the man has to give to the woman something in consideration for her to becoming a wife. And if the woman normally would give to the man something, and she would say, with this something, I'll become betrothed to you, normally this woman is not betrothed, because she didn't receive anything, she only gave something to the man. The Gemara there says that in the case of Adam Chashuv, in the case that this woman comes to a man and says, take this gift, and with this gift, I'll become betrothed to you, then she is betrothed. The Gemara asks why. The Gemara says that with this ano, with this benefit that this important person accepted a gift from her, that in itself is worth a pruta, is worth something, and then it's tantamount as this man would give her this benefit, and therefore she is betrothed. According to this, the Alshach explains that when we are giving a gift to the tabernacle and Hashem is accepting your gift, then clearly it is like Adam Choshev receiving that gift. Therefore, we are not giving it to Hashem, we actually receiving from Hashem, because the pleasure that Hashem accepts our gift is tantamount of us taking. Therefore, it's written, Ve'yikhu li truma, take from me a truma, and not Ve'yitnu li truma, and not give me a portion. The Shef Shmatz continues, and he brings the Ran, where the Ran on that Gemara makes a distinction on what kind of gift we say that she's betrothed or not. Meaning that there are two types of gifts. One is a definite gift, and clearly in a definite gift, in that case, the woman would be betrothed. But then there is a gift which is considered a matana amnas lachzir, that I give you a gift that temporarily you could use this gift, but in the condition that eventually you'll give it back to us. We use this idea of matana amnas lachzir when we give another person a esrog to fulfill the mitzvah. Meaning, we have an esrog, and the other person doesn't have an esrog, so we give him the esrog, and we tell him that this is your gift, but in the condition that you give me back this gift. Meaning, while the person has it, it's totally his, but since there is attached a condition that he gives you back, if he gives you back the esrog, then he fulfills the mitzvah, but if he decides to keep the esrog for himself, then retroactively, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. So the Ram says that in this case of a woman, when she betroths with a gift, and the person is important, that only works when she gives a definite gift to that important person. But if she tells that important person that I'll give you this gift, but in the condition that you'll give me back, then it would... The Shef Shmatz continues and says that according to this Ram comes out, that when you give a gift to the tabernacle, it's considered that you received that only if you had no other intention just to give the gift to Hashem. But if you had other intentions as to receive a reward from heaven, true that you did the mitzvah, but you can't say then that you received something, you actually only gave. You had no anoah from Hashem receiving. You could say that you gave to the tabernacle, but you can't say you took a portion to the tabernacle. Even though the Gemara in Psachim, the Nun Amud Beis, brings down the name of Rav Yehuda, that Le'olam Yasik Adam B'Toyre V'Mitzvois Afilu Sholishma, that always a person should do Toyre Mitzvahs, even though not for the proper intention, Shemitach Shelo Lishma Bolishma, because if a person does it for not the proper intention, eventually you'll come to the proper intention. And this idea of doing something Shaloi Lishma, you still get reward, doesn't apply only to Torah mitzvahs. It even applies to charity, where the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, writes down that when a person gives tzedakah, charity, and he says, I'm giving this charity because I want my son to live, he's considered a tzadi gamur, a totally righteous person. And technically here also, if a person would give this gift to the tabernacle, even though you would have ulterior motives, you would want to receive a reward for it, nonetheless, it would still be a great mitzvah, but nonetheless, it would not be v'yikhu li truma, would not be that you are taking the mitzvah, because you are only taking the mitzvah for the Alshach, and for the Ran, if you're giving the mitzvah completely for the sake of Hashem, if you're giving the mitzvah in order to receive something, then you can't say you are taking a donation, you are only giving a donation. Therefore, the Chef Schmatz explains that since the Torah writes down by the tabernacle, the Yikhu Li Truma, that I want you to take a portion, that means that Hashem wants you Li Lishmi, that when you give this donation to the tabernacle, should be completely for the sake of Hashem, because otherwise you cannot call the Yikhu Li, that you should take from me, would be the Yitnu Li, you'll give to me. So therefore, he explains that this is the meaning of Rashi, that since it's written the word Vayikhu, then automatically the word Li has to be Lishmi for the sake of Hashem. That you cannot have any ulterior motives when you are giving the donation to the tabernacle, that has to be totally for the sake of Hashem. Even though all the mitzvahs you have to make for the sake of Hashem, but nonetheless, when you do those mitzvahs with an ulterior motive, those mitzvahs still count. But here, Hashem wants you totally to give this donation only for the sake of Hashem. Like that, it will be called as you actually taking, not giving. And therefore, it's written, Li, for me, Lishmi, for the sake of Hashem. Because if you have intention of getting a benefit out of this giving, then automatically you are not taking, you are just giving. So by Hashem saying, Ve'ikhu, take, then automatically when Hashem says, Li, must be Lishmi, for my sake, because otherwise it is not considered Ve'ikhu that you are taking, it's considered Ve'itnu, you are giving. And Hashem is Baruch should help that we should learn from this week's Parsha that we should do things for the sake of Hashem, and also from this week's Parsha we could see how Hashem loves the people who are repenting, as the whole world was created for the people who repent. And when we repent, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.